This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
Today's episode of If These Ovaries Could Talk is brought to you by True Botanicals and Songfinch. Welcome aboard. We're excited to have you guys.
Oh, that's so weird.
I know.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys. I'm Jamie.
And I'm Robin. Welcome to If These Ovaries Could Talk. Why did I sing that? Like, I'm not a singer.
If These Ovaries Can Sing. We're your hosts.
I can't sing.
We just lost a bunch of listeners. Not because of your singing, just because we're being...
Check. Cold
that's
number
like
one.
Our mission
lose
right
listeners.
Now. No, we Check. Don't want to lose you. No. We don't want to lose you.
Please don't leave us. Don't we have leave abandonment us. Issues.
We really love this stuff.
stuff.
We do. We got to get these stories out there.
We do.
There's a lot of stories, and we got some good ones for season two, and we have a good one coming at you.
We sure do.
Yes, but before we talk about who's coming in here.
Can we talk about the fact that we were nominated, guys? Guys,
which is
people,
huge.
People. We were nominated for a People's Choice Podcast Award.
Which we don't even know how we got nominated. It just happened.
By the people.
Like, we didn't do it. You know, a lot of things you do and you like secretly do.
Yeah. Like our press kits. Yeah.
That we secretly. Like, we put those together.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. No, but this was like out of the blue. They
I know,
nominated
it was
us.
Exciting.
And we were amongst, in our category, the LGBTQ category, there were like 8, 10
maybe?
Was it 10?
There was other people. There was other
gays. But, you know, there's a lot of gay podcasts out there. So, yeah. You know, really honored. Ugh. Anywho.
All right, so we lost. We're coming in hot.
Next time.
Yeah, we're going to get them next time. Mm-hmm. But it's just nice to be nominated, Jamie.
It really is. It really is. No, like seriously. It's really nice, for real. So,
thank
you know,
Adam
if
Curry.
Anybody out there nominated us, thank you.
We did put up on Instagram. Go check it out. We put up our, they made you give them, which actually makes it hurt worse. They made you give them your acceptance speech. So we made it. We were funny. We sent it in. We're like, this any minute our acceptance speech is coming up. And I think maybe they just put the wrong one up. No, we lost.
No,
we lost.
Anyway, you can see our acceptance speech for the award we didn't win on Instagram at @ovaries_talk. So go check
still
that out.
Funny. Anyway.
Still great.
All right. So Robin, let's talk about who we're talking with today.
Oh my God. We have Danny and Mike here. Mm-hmm. And they are parents of Leo. This kid's got like a better career than us, Leo. Mm-hmm. He was in a movie with Claire Danes and Jim Parsons. And it was called A Kid Like Jake. And he played a little boy who was gender fluid.
Right.
Which is what Leo is in real life as
well.
Which
is very fitting because he's a little boy who is actually gender fluid.
Yeah.
He's got an amazing story.
Yeah.
His parents have an amazing story.
I cannot. They're also give a little nod to what's coming up. They're in a little bit of a lawsuit with the Department of Education over their son. Yeah. So I can't wait for
them
to come in.
You guys are intrigued. Yeah. Because now
you
want to know.
You weren't intrigued when we lost, but you are intrigued now about Leo.
No, because Leo is truly like a magical kid and we can't wait for you guys to hear about him.
All right. So let's bring in Danny and Mike.
Come on in, Danny and Mike. So welcome.
Hi guys. Danny is a female, we should say, for our listeners who can't see your face.
Mm-hmm. Does that happen a lot? Do people confuse it? I mean,
no,
I'm Jamie.
It's spelled
so it
with an I.
No, but not at Starbucks. They spell it with T-A-N-N-Y.
Yeah, well, they spell it however they want.
You know what? I stop saying my name. I say J.
I tell them it's an unspoken word and they just leave it blank.
Yeah. That's
he likes to play with the Starbucks.
The artist formerly known as a name.
See where it goes.
Okay, so we have Danny and Mike.
Yes.
Hello.
Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Well, we want to start with you guys where we start with everybody, which is the elevator pitch about you and your family.
What we normally say when we interface with anybody who's going to be either educating Leo or...
It's the three...
We have like three kind of rules in our family, which is don't shame each other. Mm-hmm. Give each other as much information as we can so that we can make educated decisions for ourselves and get out of each other's way.
Ooh.
That's like a great.
Yep.
That's kind of your like family mantra.
Yeah.
And you say that for each other.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if you're going to go interact in the world,
I just happen to be older than my child is, but he's still a person. He's just a 6-year-old person. Mm-hmm. So
6 11/12.
6 11/12.
But who's counting?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he says.
He is.
He says that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So his birthday's next month.
His birthday's next month. Yes. Oh. So and we try and that's what we try and abide by. That's what we try and when we find educators for him and classes for him, and we just try and remind ourselves shame is not. There's no place for shame, right? And get the information. Ultimately, it's your personal decision. And I think a lot of people think that means that Leo has no rules, right. Which is just couldn't be further from the truth.
Yeah.
Right. He has a bedtime. He has to eat his vegetables. He can't just sit in front of the television all day long. He's got to learn how to read and write. He can't be nasty to me. Yeah.
They try.
Yeah.
They really try.
Yeah, they'll always try. They'll try. But
we are the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
And to try.
Oh, I know. The test limits, it's on dad.
Yeah.
Mainly.
That's my life too.
So tell us a little bit about Leo. So that's part of the reason that you guys came in to talk to us today.
I mean, you're lovely people in and of yourselves.
But we are not as interesting as our child.
Sound like
is,
I didn't want you to come in.
Well, I don't know. What should I say? He's just a very unique creature. He's a unique soul. He's never really been interested in anything that's traditionally been associated with male play, male colors, male television shows. He's always kind of gravitated towards sparkles and purple and pink and princesses and...
Right from the get-go?
Always.
Mm-hmm. Since he could reach for something.
Mm-hmm. What about Sesame Street? Did he watch Sesame Street?
Abby.
He was into Abby.
Abby
who
and
was
Zoe.
Pink. Who
and Zoe.
Had, big fairy wings. But other than that. Abby Cadabby. Mm.
How did that present itself as a theme in your family? Did you at first, were you just this is just a boy who likes sparkly things?
I think the moment where I was this is something that we have to just process differently was there was a holiday break that he was home for a month because that's what happens on holiday break. Mm-hmm. They're peace out, take your kid, bye.
Yeah.
Was this three or two?
Well, which?
I think it was three.
Yeah.
So he got this Sophia the First dress for Christmas and he wouldn't take it off. Like, he wouldn't take it off.
It wasn't his first dress, but this
but
was,
it was,
it was like,
he would not
this is the one he fell in love with.
Yeah. He lived in it.
And like hysterically crying when we took it off. Aww. Like, would not.
Like, you mean for bedtime? Or
anything.
Yeah. All day.
Like, all day, every day. Like,
you have to shower.
Like, yeah. And like the next day, he would put on like, yeah, he would put on his pants and a shirt and he would put the dress on over
it. Baby.
And the preschool had a no costumes rule. And I was like, crap, this is a costume, but it's not a costume.
Yeah, to
like,
him,
for
it wasn't.
Him, it was his outfit.
It's not a costume. Mm. For him, this was like, this was his dress. Mm-hmm. Like, he needed to wear this dress. So, you know, we called up his preschool teacher and we were like, what are you going to do? Like, we were anticipating that she was going to be like, he can't wear this.
Right. Yeah.
And we got so lucky. She was like this profound human who is rather kind of gender nonconforming herself. She was like purple hair and a giant chest tattoo and is in her 60s. And
the hair is usually not more than about a centimeter long.
Yeah,
and
she's like, nice. She's got this awesome. Like punk rock heart. Love and she's her. Like, oh, no, 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 no. Everything's fine. Like,
oh, that's
he can
amazing.
Wear whatever he wants. Like, let him do him.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I would have been worried as a mother that everybody was going to judge me, that I wasn't strict enough with my kid and I couldn't get my kid to take off the dress and they were all, I'm going to show up there and they're all going to think, oh, she just doesn't know how to parent her.
Yeah, well, Jamie, I think there are people who thought that.
Right.
I think we just,
you just don't
figured
care.
Out they were wrong.
Right. So. Good. No, good for you. Like, because
my,
I worry
my
too much.
3-year-old was hysterical. I don't know you.
Right.
I don't care what you think of me.
Yeah.
Like, I got to say, even earlier than that, I remember he and I were on our way to Raphael's birthday party.
Yeah.
And he's wearing, you know, I think he's got on like camo shorts, sparkly shoes, princess hat, and his Nirvana shirt.
I love him.
And
like you do.
This woman stopped us and she's like, I just think that's awesome what you're doing. I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I have nothing to do with it.
I just didn't say no.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Why would I?
Right. Like, why, who cares?
Right.
Like, it's not my outfit. It's his.
But I think that I want to like dive into that though. Why would I? I know for me, I had like my own bunged up stuff because we are two moms and I was afraid people were going to judge me.
Mm-hmm. Think you have an agenda and you're trying to.
Yeah. Like, I'm trying to make my kid gay and I don't care one way or the other, or I don't know. Like, I got very bunched up about it. And like, he wanted to put a pink coat on one day. And I was just kind of like, I remember. And now in hindsight, I feel so stupid about it. But I remember being like, let's switch coats back. And like, really kind of like facilitating him not wearing that coat. And like, I'm just like, why couldn't I have let it?
Yeah, you're trying.
Well, because there's a lot of mom guilt.
You're also a victim of your own kind of like repressed, you know.
You're right.
but
it's true.
But
it's
you know, homophobia.
Absolutely.
Yes. Like because you were taught when you were little, you know, that's too feminine or that's too masculine or that's too this or that's too that. Mm-hmm. So we have these triggers that we're not even aware of.
But I've heard that said by other
who has
as well.
A very fluid child, you have to check your triggers. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to constantly be like, Do I have a problem with this? Why do I have a problem with this?
Did you just know to do that on your own? Did you have help?
I think yes and no. I think once he's the dress, and then I was like, I gotta get him something besides the dress because the dress is falling apart and it's dirty.
Yeah.
And then
that's
when I went out to Amazon and I just bought him like the rainbow of tutus. And he would just wear them over his
clothes. The day those came, was it like the happiest day of his life?
Oh yeah. He didn't take them off for 2 years. I mean, literally it was they would wear them till
when
they disintegrated.
When you see something that makes your child light up, like, that's it.
Yeah, it's just a piece of fabric.
But I think that there are some parents who might not take the same take that you guys did.
I think you're right.
I think that's, you know, I work in the entertainment industry and I interface with a ton of actors and all these grown men who are like, I wish I had a princess party.
Aww.
I wish that I didn't have to put the leotard on in the closet and have my sister listen at the door to make sure that my mother didn't come upstairs and catch me in the leotard.
That's heartbreaking.
I wish that, you know, my dad hadn't burnt my Barbies when I was, you know, at school. I wish that I had been allowed to have Barbies.
Yeah.
I wish that my mother didn't tell me that all the My Little Ponies were too expensive. And I think that a lot of what we kind of pulled from was, what, you know, we have so many people in our lives who would have been very gender nonconforming had they been allowed to be, that I would just ask questions of, like, what would you like to have happened? How would you like to have gone to elementary school?
Yeah.
What would you like if something like this happened to you? Did it happen to you? And they're like, yes, it did. And this is what happened. And this is what I would have preferred to happen. Mm-hmm. And some people like have just suppressed it all. And then it like brings up, you know,
triggers.
Memories and triggers for them. And
can I just, when I want to chime in with something that's kind of, I got to tell you, it's really funny. People who know us peripherally generally assume, man, you've got the best mom. They just can't really feature that a dad would be just as on board.
Right. But you're totally on board.
Yeah. I mean, it's just.
Because it was so funny because I was thinking of the next question in my head is like, have there been any men that have had given issues? Because I think we're just predisposed to think that men are going to be uncomfortable with this. Like, because my son is not going to wear dresses. Like, that's the narrative we've heard.
Yeah.
Right.
So you're breaking that narrative.
I don't think we're friends with a lot of straight men.
Yeah. Oh, well, because I was going to say.
A little bit in the bubble.
Neither are we.
I mean, even the straight men I'm friends with aren't really super straight, you know.
They're jazz musicians.
They're about as straight as I am, yeah. And I think it does speak both ways, right?
They give you no credit.
Yeah.
Also, I must either be a single mom or we must have a terrible relationship or I must be pushing an agenda and forcing Leo to dress like this. And
have a lot of people said that about you pushing an agenda?
In print, like because of the exposure from what happened at the public school and because of his movie and because of all of that in print.
We'll be getting to both those things, folks.
You know, people who don't know us, who just, you know, assume that.
Like people trolling you from comments from articles.
Oh, yeah. But the flip side is if you don't say anything, if you don't stand up for their rights, then you're complicit in their destruction. So you don't know me. You can say whatever you want.
Right.
You don't know me.
I mean, if we were to do what society might prescribe, so teach him that all of his instincts are wrong, you know,
can you imagine the damage?
Yeah, he'd be as fucked up as I am.
As all of us. Yes, we're drinking wine, yes.
Yes, I'm having beer.
Hey, Robin.
Yes, Jamie.
Did you know that most skincare products on the shelf involve some sort of trade-off?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to it. Either they're loaded with harmful chemicals, but they work, right? Mm-hmm. Or they manage to have clean ingredients, right? But then do absolutely nothing for your skin. You knew where I was going there.
Of course I did.
Listen, True Botanicals believes you shouldn't have to choose between skincare that's safe and skincare that's effective.
You deserve both. You really do, though. I mean, it's like not funny.
No, it's true.
And you know what's cool, though, is that with the help of leading researchers from top universities, True Botanicals bottles the highest quality natural ingredients, which creates luxurious formulas that are as potent as they are pure.
I love pure and I love potent.
You need both.
You do.
And third-party clinical trials verify the product's efficacy.
I love that you just said efficacy.
Aren't you proud of me for using that word?
I am, and I want to say it again. Efficacy.
And their Renew collection for aging skin outperformed Creme de la Mer.
Ooh.
And their Clear collection for acne outperformed Proactive, which is a big deal.
That is.
And it's proof that non-toxic skincare can not only be as effective as conventional skincare,
but it can be better.
I mean, that's it.
I love that. Listen, True Botanicals is the first skincare company to have its entire line certified safe for people and the planet by the nonprofit Made Safe. Do you know what that is?
Amazing. I do.
It's America's first non-toxic seal.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, you need to go to truebotanicals.com now and you get free samples and receive $20 off orders of $40 or more off of your first purchase with the code, listen, OCT.
That's right. OCT, folks. While we're talking about this stuff, like you started to mention an issue with the school. Do you want to tell us about that?
You know, he had such a positive experience in pre-K that we were kind of super blindsided by our experience in the public school system.
And we've said already, he's chosen to still go by he, correct?
Yeah.
He's always gone back to go by he.
Was like, one time he was like,
maybe I'm a they.
I think I might be a they. But then
he has that much language about this.
Do you guys talk about it in the house?
Sure.
Yeah.
And you know what?
I have
clients who are trans. His director of his movie is trans. I have a couple clients who are they, them. And he's very exposed. I mean, he's been to see 18 Broadway shows and he's sure. 6 and a half.
So he said at that. One point he said, maybe I'm a them or they.
Yeah. You know, and he's like, I might be a they. And I was like, all right, well, let me know. And then we redid his passport recently because he was up for a project that was going to shoot in Toronto. And I was like, oh, crap. We got to get you renew your passport. And he's like, renew. Should I be a they them? I was like, well, legally right now you're not allowed to be. He's like, okay, I'll stick to he. I was like, great. Let's do it. You know, so.
But I mean, that makes me think, and then we are going to come back to the school issue, but it makes me think like if, I mean, this is a much bigger thing. If he was like all of a sudden, like I want to start exploring hormones or whatever. And when his teens, like mm-hmm. you guys would just be like, well, let's educate ourselves and yeah. you're going to do what you're going to do. Right.
Well, you know, the way I explain it to people who don't understand it at all is, mm-hmm. well, say your kid has asthma and you can medicate them mm-hmm. so they don't have asthma anymore. Mm-hmm. Or you could worry about your neighbor who doesn't think you should be medicating them because they don't think the medication is good for them and they don't think that asthma really is a thing. Mm-hmm. So you could watch your kids suffer and not give them medication mm-hmm. and please your neighbor who you don't really know.
Right.
Or you could medicate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you have, choose. Right. And then you have somebody across the country who says, you know, asthma is the worst thing ever and it doesn't exist and damn asthma. And I'm going to like get lobbyists to make sure that you know that asthma is terrible.
Right.
Well, no, I'm going to fight you because I live with somebody who has asthma.
Also, yeah. asthmatics are going suffer. To hell.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And they're yeah. suffering on a regular basis. And it's a very simple, easy fix. Mm-hmm. Let him wear a tutu or give him the asthma medication.
Yeah.
As far as he's never had any body dysmorphia. He's mm-hmm. never been. He loves himself. He loves his body. He's like, woo, look at me. He's got nothing but self-confidence. And I think that he's just been given the space to like figure out. And if he was really showing signs of being tormented by his body, then we would be having a different discussion.
Right.
Probably with a therapist, I would assume.
With a therapist, with a medical professional, because it would be a medical necessity. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Right now it's like, I like pink. Back up. My favorite color is none of your business.
And you know, he's also at a point that, honestly, like I see him and he's maybe got one little splash of pink or something on.
Yeah.
Like my belt. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's enough where people are like, oh, she's just adorable.
Yeah, he gets misgendered.
And
all
he'll usually look and he's like, she thinks I'm a girl too. He doesn't care.
It doesn't faze him in any way.
No, and I think part of that not bothering him is that it's never been a problem.
Right.
And like he can say, right. I might be a they, and we're like, okay, cool. Yes.
Yeah. Like right. feminine right. is not a negative.
Right. Not at all.
Like that's, I think that culturally speaking, we've been raised to think that if you show femininity or a lighter touch, that's a weakness.
Yeah.
So he was in this beautiful pre-K. Yeah. They were so supportive of him, let him flourish. Then he goes to kindergarten.
Yeah. So we sent him to the public school that we were zoned for.
Yes, the bubble. Lefty open Brooklyn.
Yeah, we sent him to public school, which mm-hmm. he was zoned for.
Like he was so excited to go. Mm-hmm. Half the summer, he's like, "Is it time yet? Can I go? Is it time?" He was so excited. Mm-hmm. He had planned out what he was going to wear the first day. It was very reminiscent of what Dani wore to her first day of kindergarten,
but with an extra tutu,
right?
Of course.
But he was immediately
pink jumpsuit
miserable. I mean, so unhappy.
Crying, hysterical, like holding onto Mike's leg.
After the first day?
Didn't want to be like dropped off.
Didn't want to be dropped off.
So each day I'm dropping him off after that.
Pick him up, he'd be like, where have you been? I'd be like, what do you mean? It's only been like 2 hours. He's like, yeah. He's like, where have you been? So then he's miserable. And so I can't get the teacher to call me back.
Yeah, we were trying to reach out to just figure out what's wrong.
I can't get her to call me back. I can't get her to email me back. I can't
not responding.
Nothing. Not responding to an email.
He's starting to think he hates school, and that's the last thing we want.
Yeah, so we were just like trying to get to the bottom of what's happening.
Weeks in.
This was like 3 weeks in.
And you're still not getting any response.
Still no response.
Crazy.
So I had like Leo had a checkup with his pediatrician, who's also a friend. And I was like, that's what's going on. She was like, well, why don't you reach out to the parent-teacher coordinator? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was like, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. I will do that. So I emailed the parent-teacher coordinator and she was like, yeah, I remember you. I remember meeting Leo and you should meet with the principal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, if that's what you think is best,
yeah.
Sure. So we set up a meeting with the principal. And that's when it all kind of went to hell. So we meet with the principal. This is early October. And things that were said in the meeting were things like, we've done the two moms thing and the two dads thing, but never the gender nonconforming thing.
This is new
thing.
Territory for us.
Okay. Then, you know, if you have research, you should like bullet point things and highlight them because teachers don't like to read.
Oh, what? I'm sorry. What?
then
she also said, you know, it's just so confusing for some of the other kids. I think it just would be simpler if he was trans, right?
This would be so much easier if he was trans.
What?
And then I don't understand why this is such a problem because we put him in this classroom because she was the teacher that she was least likely to have a problem with this issue.
What? I mean, you guys know this verbatim. This is like
verbatim. Well, I remember what I was wearing. I remember what were you?
You're in
day.
The room. Your mouth was
dress
just
from
open.
H&M with nodding. Flowers on. Like it's like trauma burnt into my brain.
What's going on in your head?
Our faces were like.
Yeah, eyes like saucers.
Because you don't know what to do. You're confronted with this.
I think we both knew that, like, we were not on the same page and we couldn't say anything. That we just had
to,
now
we're going to have those very uncomfortable situations. Yeah.
You know.
Well, then at this meeting also, we find out that about a week earlier, I mean, we hadn't been told it. We just were at a meeting that we had called and she said, and, you know, there was this incident. And we're like, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, they were in the library's class and he told the librarian he needed to go to the bathroom. So she sent him with a partner, but she thought he was a girl. So she sent him with a girl. Then they went to the bathroom and the girl stood outside the boy's bathroom while he was in there. And then some older boys saw him and, you know, like, what are you doing in there?
Why are you in a girl's bathroom?
You know, this sent like shockwaves through the school. Like teachers were commenting on it. Teachers were like, what's going to happen when he's older? And, you know, kids are already concerned about.
Why did they not tell you about this?
Didn't tell us.
Well, that's what, and basically we were like, just talk to us.
Right. Especially when you were emailing and saying, what's
happening? Please talk to us.
And
what's
Leo
happening?
And
we weren't assuming that
it.
What was.
All of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
all of it.
He was
subjected to it every day.
So, I mean, this is the first time in his life where it was a problem.
Right. So now your little 4 or 5 year old is struggling to get to school because he's feeling this hatred from people.
Yeah.
You have a meeting with the principal.
Yeah.
Who says all the wrong things.
All the wrong things.
So we walked out and
we were both
as soon as
we were
on the street, like, did you wait?
Did you hear that?
Yeah. So you get on the street and you both just, right?
Yeah.
So... then he has his birthday party. And a girlfriend of mine who works for the DOE, I was like, this is what happened. And she was like, what? You know? And I was like, yeah. So, you know, it's not great.
Yeah.
And
so you guys just kind of thought, let's just run with this.
Well, we didn't know we had any choices. Right. Uh-huh. So she's like, you need to reach out to other schools.
Like schools in the district.
In
that
the
are
district and tell them
close.
What was said to you and see if they will find him a spot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, how do I do that? She's like, this is what you do. And she kind of walked me through it.
So we were emailing parent-teacher coordinators CC'd with principals usually.
Yes, principals and parent-teacher coordinators of like 5 or 6 different schools that
within the district
that had a track record of being more progressive. Mm-hmm. And every school turned us down.
They just said we don't have space.
They said we don't have space. Sorry, I can't help you.
Because Park Slope is everybody's.
But it wasn't actually true because apparently, politically speaking,
it wasn't all Park Slope either.
They felt like this was this principal's job to make sure that she took care of a kid who needed to be taken care of. And politically speaking, it wasn't their place to step in.
Mm, got it.
And that. You know,
some of this we found out later.
Right, we found that out later. So this was her district. So we just got shut out. We got stonewalled. And we were like, okay, well, that's that. So I was like, well, we're going to try and make the best.
Meanwhile,
of this.
He's going to school every day in the
hysterical,
crying every day.
So like, he was in the after school program that we paid for, and we wound up not doing it because he was like,
torture.
Get me out of this building as quickly as possible. Uh-huh. So I like moved my whole schedule around. My business partner was like, I got things between 3 and 5. I'm like, oh, thank God. Right. And we just picked him up as soon as possible. And then like I went and I helped in the classroom and like his parents came to grandparents and we like tried to like make the best of everything. So then there came a day in December And I pick up, the teacher comes up to me. I'm going to do an imitation of her, which is really, it's one of my better imitations.
I hope there's an accent.
Oh my God, Danny. Like a mom said to me, like you and Mike eat his poop. And like, I know like the mom's like really upset. So like, will you talk to him? What? This is how she talks.
By the way. Like kindergartners talk about poop 24/7.
Literally 24/7.
All the time. 24/7. My daughter tells me she's gonna poop on my face 24/7. Every day.
Leo's got some buddies that like run around the recess going, show me your vagina. Right. Nobody called the police on their parents.
Henry talks about his nuts all the time. Yeah. Don't touch my nuts.
Yeah.
Rose talks about another the burning friend. Vaginas. Yeah.
Leo's got another friend who like whipped out his penis and was like, I'm gonna pee on your tongue to one of and like nobody called the police on their parents. This is what 5-year-olds talk about, right? So I said to her, okay, well, you know that's not true, but yeah, sure, I'll talk to him.
So that's a Thursday at pickup.
So I pick him. So we walk home and I have a conversation about how humor is subjective.
You know, everyone doesn't think dad's jokes are
right?
funny.
Right? I'm like, not everybody thinks every joke is funny. And you know, when dad tells a dumb joke and you and I don't think it's funny, well, apparently your school does not think poop jokes are funny. So like, cool it.
Yeah,
he's like, okay.
Right.
So I think it's over, right? Yeah. And then Friday happens, Saturday happens, Sunday happens, Monday happens. Tuesday after school, I get an email from the principal, like, I need to talk to you immediately for a very important matter. Then she calls me on the phone and leaves me a message like, you have to call me back immediately. This is a very, very, very important matter. And I'm like in a physical therapy appointment. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Oh, okay. So I'm like, I get off the table. You know, I'm like, oh, what's going on? And she's like, well, didn't Sherry talk to you about what's happening? I was like,
who's Sherry? The teacher?
The teacher. I was like, are you talking about the poop?
Is this about the poop in the mouth?
And she was like, well, yes. Well, it was not just that. I was like, okay. So she basically threatens me and tells me if we don't put him into therapy, that there will be repercussions and
for a poop joke.
And then her 30 years of teaching that when kids say things like this, that they're deeply disturbed.
What? Are you kidding me?
And that we needed to come in and meet with a social worker to create a plan.
So on this Tuesday, after that Thursday, she was insisting on a meeting on the next Friday.
Correct.
With the social worker.
So I was
because of the poop joke, what is it exactly that
we eat his poop.
I hear so much work. I know.
I heard worse this morning.
Well, mind you, this was a comment that like the teacher didn't even hear, that like a parent heard
and came
with
you.
A whole bunch of kids like at pickup where they're all telling dumb jokes. The only one who was singled out was the kid in the skirt.
Sure.
Right? There's a group of them.
The boy in the skirt.
So I was like, well, she was like, well, are you not going to comply? And I said, no, I'm going to comply. But
and also stop using the word comply, turd.
But the fact that you took a bathroom joke from a 5-year-old and you have created a conflict, your critical thinking skills and the staff of your critical thinking skills lead me to like be concerned about leaving him in your care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good and for she you. She was so mad. She was like, well, I will see you Friday. And I'm like,
I said good day.
Yeah, I said good day. And I was like, And of course, I burst into tears. I was like hysterically crying.
Because you've been holding it together for 4 months now.
Right. And I like ran to go get, he was still at school at this point. I ran to go get him. And then I called my girlfriend who works for the DOA and I called my pediatrician. And I was like,
she also called me.
I was like,
my husband, right?
I was like, what is this? And I was like, am I being accused of something? And they were like, yes.
Yeah.
And
they're making a case.
You need to put in a formal complaint. And I was like, okay.
Because you had
so many advisors around you.
Yeah. And I said, well, do you think this would be happening if he was traditionally, if he presented traditionally? And across the board, every single one of them said, absolutely not.
Yep.
And they're all mandated reporters, every single one of them. And they're people who like know us so well. They've been in our homes. And I was like, okay. So my girlfriend who works for the DOE said, would you like to be in touch with the DOE liaison for LGBTQ students.
Yeah.
First of all, apparently, like, when Leo walked into that building, we should have been told about him.
According to him, he said.
So he's an LGBTQ liaison.
And he,
for the most part, kind of, like, does workshops and tries to, like, educate people to, like... Like, this is what a gay person is.
Right. You know? One person. One
he educates person. People to 1985.
And if there's a million
correct.
Kids.
To 1985, yes. Yeah. So he said, do you want to move Leo to a different school? And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, in order to do that, we have to create a paper trail for a reason to transfer him. So you guys have to call in a formal complaint against the principal and the teacher. Mm-hmm. So we did that, which is what we were told to do by the DOE.
Mm-hmm. With the OEO.
Which is the Office of Equal Opportunity, and it's within, which is another DOE kind of.
Sure.
It's within the DOE.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So we did that. We also sent to the Chancellor of Schools the chain of events that happened. Mm-hmm. And we also sent to the powers that be what had happened. And that evening after we filed the complaint, the police came to our house at midnight.
And this was about 9 hours before the meeting.
So as a retaliation.
A full week and change after the so concerning remarks.
Right. So they were so concerned, but yet they sent him home to us for a week.
By the way, they were so concerned, but had him at school with the other kids.
Correct.
Like, if you're really concerned about him being disturbed, you're isolating him or pulling him out of school.
But they weren't concerned about him being disturbed. They wanted to.
They're concerned about you.
Right. They wanted to force me into forcing him to comply to their standard so that they weren't uncomfortable.
Danny and Mike, listen, I want to keep talking to you guys, but I have to be honest that I also want to hear our Song Finch theme song again.
Oh, me too, because it's so good and you guys will love it. So just listen, it's so good.
We were hanging out at Cowboy with our kids and our wives, celebrating pride with some sweet potato fries. When your eyes got wide and migrated from your Frito pie, you said, hey, I got an idea. So we made a million Google Docs, which sounds a bit insane, but so is getting lost when you're just two blocks away. And in spite of heavy breathing in your pregnancy brain, our podcast baby was born. Yeah. If these ovaries could talk, they'd be Robin keeping us on track so dutifully. If these ovaries could talk, they'd be Jamie saying everything is beautiful, because love is love. If you don't have to make a family by taking the traditional route.
If these ovaries could talk,
no, I'm gonna stop singing. I don't want to ruin their song.
Yeah, I know. I love Song Finch for making that for us. I mean, where else can you get a personalized song starting at only $99 that's delivered to you within 7 days?
I know. It's amazing. And you know what? Mary's birthday is coming up, and I think maybe I should up my game just a tad bit and get her a song, because let's face it, Jamie, I have bought her very crappy gifts for $99.
Well, listen, the thing to me, Robin, because you know I'm a singer.
Yeah, I've heard this. Mm-hmm, Jamie.
It's that they're actually really good songs.
I know.
I'm impressed.
Well, I mean, the reality is that's what you get when you actually have a songwriting community of over 300 professional musicians. You get good quality stuff.
It's worth it. And we have good news for our listeners. You can make one too. Use promo code OCT for $20 off your personalized song from scratch.
It's like being serenaded.
It's
you won't
win,
regret it.
Win. Oh,
all right, stop it, Jamie.
So then the police came.
Show up.
And we were lucky enough to have this incredible combination of fascinating New Yorkers. And every single one of them was like, your civil rights are being trampled on.
Yeah.
But I just know the door buzzed at about 12:15.
Midnight.
Yeah. I was wrapping presents.
Midnight.
Oh, you were. Oh, because it's Christmas.
Around, yeah. December 15th.
When your kid's asleep.
And, you know, you were.
I was like in Christmas pajamas. Like, it's like if you like wrote this movie, it would be like,
you should write this movie.
I go to the door and, you know, it's a, you know, brownstone building. So it's, you know, the glass door. And I'm like, I see these people.
Cops.
I haven't opened the door yet. And they're, you know, they're not, they're plainclothes.
Yeah.
But one of them opens her jacket and shows me her badge and gun. And I'm like, can I help you? You
know, yeah. Hi.
I have not yet touched the doorknob. And then, you know, she's asking, Leo Davis live here, Danny Super? I'm like, yes. Continue. What do you need? And, you know, basically, she's like, we need to come in and see Leo. I'm like,
he's sleeping. So yeah. My first thing would be, I'm sorry, my child is sleeping.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, is if they were concerned for his safety from you two, right? Yeah. Like the Tuesday when they called would be the time to send the police.
Correct.
Not after you filed a report complete, 2 days later.
Correct.
Well, because at that point they were going to fight back. Because you were placing
But like if they hadn't escalated this to the point of calling the police on me, I wouldn't have sued them.
Yeah.
I would have just left and been like, this sucked.
We're going to get into school.
Yeah. Like this sucked.
Yeah. But it resulted in, you know.
You can't like in bad faith call, like abuse a city organization that is there to protect children because of your ego.
Right.
Like that is a huge abuse of power.
Yeah.
And it all stemmed from how uncomfortable they were with Leo's freedom.
So the cops come, we have a conversation, we start to relax, you know, and
you let them in?
Yeah.
Okay. So you have a lovely home and a lovely son. And
well, and you know, one of them's like, oh my God, that pillow is amazing. There's a pillow we have that says, don't be a dick. And, so, you know, then they go ahead and like take a quick peek. They don't even wake them up and they come back up and we're talking about what had been going on. And, you know, they're sort of like, why are we here? I'm sorry.
That's good.
And, but then one of them said, you know, you're going to be visited by ACS. I don't know when, but they're going to come.
Yeah.
And, you know, you also, like, here's a card for the Safe Horizons, and, you know, you could preemptively call them. So they left, and then another 20 minutes later, about 1 a.m., ACS shows up.
Mm-hmm.
We have to go through the whole thing.
And they had to, like, go into Leo's room and, like, shine a flashlight into his bed. And,
oh, my
like,
God.
Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they had guns in our house at midnight and 1 a.m.
They didn't wake him up, though.
They didn't wake him up. Also wouldn't really have known that we were entitled to sue unless they had said to us, you have to sue.
ACS said this?
Yeah. What?
Oh.
But the next day we go to the meeting. The meeting is, I don't know how much we were going to get in the meeting, but it was...
Sucked.
It sucked, and it had nothing to do with any concerns they had.
Go into
and
the meeting.
We asked the parent who the comment originated from to come with us because she's like, I have no idea how this happened.
she was hysterical.
Oh, she's like, I don't know how this happened. And she's like feeling super guilty. I'm like, girl,
it's all good.
It's not your fault.
Because it was one point. So we finished that meeting. It was horrifying. And about an hour later, phone call comes.
And by the way, we had to be at ACS immediately. And if we didn't comply, that there will be repercussions.
Because Danny's like, we can be there in a couple hours. She goes, like, if that's how you want to play it.
I don't suggest that. And then she was like, yeah, if that's how you want to play it. And I was like,
wait, who said that?
The woman who worked for ACS. And I was like,
we'll be there. We're coming.
I was like, okay, we'll be there now. So we had
dropped.
Canceled everything again.
That day, we had decided after the visit the night before, we were like, we're not taking Leo to school. We're going to go to that meeting. But we, you know, called up his old pre-K and they were like, he can come be an assistant teacher. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh,
so he was there. So we had to go grab Leo from there and all go to ACS. Immediately, Danny's taken and put into holding as a
literally detained with like some very questionable fellas who were chain smoking. I was like locked in like a holding cell.
And over the course
I don't know if you're aware, but you're not legally allowed to smoke. Like
for the next 4 hours or so, Leo and
Four
I were
hours.
Questioned individually.
You're all separated.
All separated.
I don't understand why you can't just be in a room by yourself. Like, why do you have to be put in some?
Well, apparently the way the school spun it is that it wasn't Mike and I ate his poop. It was me. The way they colored this was like something Leo never said anything of the sort. And it was so disgusting. And like the lie that they made up. So like it was profound.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was so ugly and so gross that I can't even repeat what they said.
Because their whole career is
so we're
online.
Hanging out Correct. At ACS and Leo and I are either in the waiting room and he's playing and entertaining and he's like surprisingly okay. Or each of us is being questioned individually by police, psychologist, and the caseworker.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, each person got the same story when they're asking Leo, like, what went on that day. He's like, I was just, my friend Noah was mad. I was trying to make her and everybody laugh.
Yeah, we poop.
And
so that's like, what they do to make people laugh. They talk about poop.
Mm-hmm.
And yet at the end of all of this, we still had to have 3 months of home visits and be informed that depending on how things are found, you know, he could be taken, put into foster care, or put with a, you know.
And there had to be, you guys had to be scared that there could be some bias.
Well, and that's the thing is that
we actually got very lucky because the police officer who was in charge of our case happened to be a lesbian.
Power up to the lesbians.
Who, you know, I finally got to meet her after I was in holding for 4 hours. And she, like, she came in and she, like, passed me what the school said about me. She's like, I want you to read this. She's like, I want you to stay as far away from these people as possible. They are dangerous.
The school?
Wow. Yes. And she said,
because she had to talk to me,
I want to keep your child, and in a good way, not in a bad way.
Yeah.
And she said, I was gender nonconforming. And I was not allowed to dress or be the way I wanted to be as a child. And I moved across the country and I cut my hair and I started dressing very masculine and I met my wife, and my mother and I have only really recently started to connect now that I've had a son. And I was like, okay. She's like, and I owe Leo some Play-Doh. I was like, okay.
But Danny, you must have been a wreck those four hours.
I was a wreck.
Because you don't know what's going on.
And I was like calling, like I was, and like, it's interesting also, like they gave me this form to fill out that was, you know, I work in the entertainment industry. I read contracts for a living.
Yeah.
That was literally like, give us the power of like digging into your personal medical records for the rest of your life. And I'm like, this isn't about me. This is about him, right? So like, I had to call an attorney friend and be like, cross this out and fill this in.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you're preaching with the choir. Yeah, they're wrong. I was like, yeah, but like, you're sitting, giving me like a legal form that if I don't sign it, it will look badly upon me and my family. But it's to let you pry into my medical history until I'm dead.
For why?
Like, so I had to like cross things out and amend things. So I was like on the phone with attorneys and I was on the phone with like the Ackerman Institute. And I was like trying to like reach out to anybody who could help me.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to like be a connected person.
That's the thing. Right. God forbid, in almost every one of these stories, you guys have had support of people in the right industry, in the right, at the DOE, legal people. Can you imagine being this family in I don't know, Iowa, and you just work at like a regular blue-collar job?
Honestly, he would have been taken from us.
Also, I have to say, you guys are both white.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Yeah, that's also really valid.
We are upper middle class. We are white and we speak English.
I just like, I can see how this could have just spiraled down.
Well, and that's one of the biggest, I mean, this disingenuous report that could have destroyed our family. I mean, also think if I was that dad, the usual dad that people expect me to be, who this was the last straw.
They could have irrevocably damaged, like, it could have been, like, that he never trusted me again. It could have destroyed
your entire family.
Yeah. I'm like,
When did you decide to sue?
Well, it was really Detective Felix who was like, you have to sue these people. And, like, looking in the face of somebody who did not get to be their authentic self as a child. And she also said to me, listen, Danny, I got this case because there's a whole bunch of like meathead fellas out here who say, oh, it's about a kid in a tutu. Give it to the lesbian.
Yeah. Oh, she's totally.
Like, you could have just as easily gotten one of those guys.
Yeah.
And
it would have been different.
And it would have been very different. So if you have the strength to do this, you need to sue these people. And we're rooting for you. Wow. And then I took like Christmas and then it was like, okay, this is not okay. You can't just do this. You can't do this to us. And you shouldn't have to have a parent who's connected and knows who to call. You should be able just to be you. The whole point of public education is to educate them.
Yeah.
And if you wake up every day and you go to this organization and you say, I'm about public education, the hypocrisy of it all is just shocking. None of them are safe. None of those kids are safe in that environment. It is all about protecting government jobs and government contracts. And the kids are not even secondary. They're like 10th.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just have to do better.
It's just so hard to believe that is happening in our system.
I know.
I mean, I know that there's good ones out there.
Well, the only reason why, of course. But, and listen, he got transferred to another public school, which was awesome.
That's great.
But the biggest problem is that the superintendent of that district is the woman who had us, the police called on us. And I will never trust the DOE in New York City ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, but if we had started at the school,
we wouldn't have left. Yeah. He would have been fine. It would have been great. It was wonderful. It was progressive. It was
a completely different world.
Yeah. It was literally like we went 4 subway stops and we went from the 50s to present day.
Yeah.
They're completely different. But they also allowed him to be interviewed by the OEO without discussing it with us.
Which has to be. I mean,
we
rules.
Didn't even find out about that.
We didn't even find out until we sued.
Yeah. Like,
so like, I'm going to give you my kid for 8 hours a day. And you're just going to like,
did that in school.
Yeah. We found out about it when our attorney got emails from them. And we saw this gym, like, what?
How is that? Okay. That we filed the complaint with the OEO.
Right.
And you're able to like have access without me present.
But you went and interviewed our minor child without us knowing.
It's interesting.
And the school said, fine, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
Because they're all, it's like connected. It's like a mafia.
Very eye-opening.
You not were, only didn't talk to us about it, but never told us ever.
No, ever. That's until we sued. And then like they had to release records to us.
But and you're two affluent white people who have power and connections and found this stuff out. There are a lot of families.
Yeah.
Who don't find this stuff out?
Well, I'm also very tenacious. I just keep digging.
But not every, you know, like some people have two jobs or they just can't, they don't have the time or the
Or you don't
the
have the emotional.
There's
some, I'll hit a wall and I'll just fall apart. And then the next day I'll pick myself back up and I'll keep at it.
Yeah, because you might just be like, it's over, let's move on. Yeah.
We're still super bogged down in this. I mean, we're at a point now that it's
with the Human Rights
almost
Commission.
2 years later.
Yeah.
And we just last week met with the Human Rights Commission and they have decided to take it. And then he said, so it's about, you're looking at about 18 to 24 months to a resolution.
Wow.
You know, because this guy, this one individual has 70 cases he's dealing with.
Yeah. It's going to be another long road. I mean, and Leo's already been to, this is his, he's now being homeschooled because of all of this.
So I wanted to take it back to Leo. So now what's happening with Leo? What's his story now?
I mean, well, I think we were so burnt by the DOE, no matter how wonderful PS29 was, we were not going to keep him there. It was like a safe place for 3 months and then we were like, I'm out. So, but we didn't want to put him back into that like binary way of sorting kids because that is part of what's teaching him that he's wrong.
Right. Yeah.
Like his existence is wrong. Like boys over here, girls over there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And well, it's got set up right now. I feel like we're off to a great start.
Yeah, we are. So he goes to a program that is very similar. It's like they learn by doing. They go on field trips and they run a diner and they like.
Is it like parent run?
No, it's run by a fella, but the parents
are very involved.
Very involved and help a lot. Like, I'm going to do drama Fridays.
Of course
you are. And, like, you know, take them to the New Victory. Yeah. And, like, we set this thing up with Smokey Joe's Cafe where we're all going to go and do, like, rehearsal.
Well, but you can do only up to 3 days a week. It's for homeschool families. Yeah. It's not school and it's not academic.
But it is. It's like you're
so much
you learn.
Oh, God.
So he does that 3 days a week, and then he has a tutor 2 days a week where they just, like, do reading, writing, math.
That's great.
And then he takes guitar, and he takes dance, and he swims, and he has a sewing class.
Like, you've created a well-rounded experience for him.
And then he also, like, he can be himself. Does movies.
Yeah.
So he's been in a few movies.
So all this, So a kid like Jake.
Yeah, his first movie was he was the title character.
What's it called?
It's called A Kid Like Jake.
A Kid Like Jake.
And he played Jake. And it's about a gender nonconforming, you know,
four-year-old
in Brooklyn.
By the way, first movie with Claire Danes, no biggie.
Oh, I've heard of this. Yeah. I wanted to see this.
Yeah. Claire Danes, Jim Parsons, Octavia Spencer.
Priyanka Chopra,
his
best buddy.
Jamie, your first movie was with Claire Danes, right? Mine too.
Wow. So he's okay. Despite the whole turmoil that happened and this whole lawsuit, he's okay.
Yeah, he's very aware of how polarizing he is. Mm. So,
it's a hard burden for a 11, 12-year-old boy.
It is. He's, you know, there was one day at camp where I was we were walking and he was wearing a skirt and this woman was like, oh, look how beautiful that little girl is. And look, she has a skirt on it just like yours. And he looked at me and he took the skirt off and he handed it to me and he walked in. Oh. And she didn't mean anything by it, but she just assumed since he had a skirt on, he was a girl.
Yep.
And he was like, I just don't want to deal with this today. And he's very...
Most of the kids at this camp were also from the school where everything went down.
When we passed it, he's like, that's the school that called the police on us.
He's very aware.
Well, and we were switching schools, he was like, you know, we had gone to the second school and everything was fine and we were switching schools and he was like, I'm worried about going to a new school because I don't know if they're going to call the police. And it's like, it's there. It's in the back of his mind.
It's there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's there.
I mean, just like, thank God he has you guys there to just be these incredible, but also,
what happens if like he had been taken from us for a day or a week? That would have, he never would have trusted us again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I wouldn't have been able to protect him.
Yeah.
But so the movie was it's the director is so funny. He likes to call it like the prequel to our actual story.
Yeah.
The parents that weren't comfortable with it yet, who the movie is really about them coming to terms with how to parent a kid like Jake, kid like Leo.
Yeah.
And this is like the sequel, like you support him and you let him go to the public school. And then what happens when you let them out into the public and the public school doesn't support
you guys are
them.
The mirror opposite. You need to make your movie about the parents who were totally supportive and then you send him out into the world and they screw it up.
And that was such a profoundly positive experience for him. Like everybody on staff was either LGBTQ or female or person of color or all three.
Yeah.
And it was a story about a kid like him. And he was like, oh, these are my people.
Yeah.
Like, so to have gone from a place where he was like, I don't have any people.
Where am I?
Right.
He can't see himself.
To a place where he was like, oh, I'm going to be okay because eventually I'm going to get to be with my people. These are my people. And that's when I was like, oh shit, he's an actor.
When he turned eight.
That's the real scary thing.
I was like, you're right. These are your people.
And it's going to be a hard road, my friend.
Yeah. So then, you know, this became kind of like a runaway thing. And then he just did a project with Ben Stiller where he played like a trailer park kid. And
of course he did.
It's funny. When he was going to the audition.
Toro and it's a fancy cast. Patricia Arquette plays his mom. And, you know.
But when he was getting ready for the callback for that, we were getting his outfit together. And, you know, he was like, this is my regular boy outfit. And, of course, he had a Pocahontas t-shirt. You know.
Vintage Pocahontas t-shirt.
I love it. He's more famous than all of us.
I know.
We were just talking about so IMDb, and he's really IMDb.
His star meter's up.
His star meter's up. I'm like, kid, you're doing okay.
He walks down the street like a star.
He's doing okay for 6th and, you know, 11, 12th. He's doing okay.
Amazing.
I hope to be as good a parent as them.
They're really good.
Once again, it's people I want to parent me. Mm-hmm. Do you think they could fix my childhood, my broken childhood?
I think you've come out pretty well from your broken childhood, Robin. You seem to be doing a good job.
I just started twitching when you said that. All right. So I love Danny and Mike. I really did.
I do too. And
I just love how they're parenting. I really did.
They're doing a great job and they're working really hard to stay open. And
yeah. But I mean, more importantly, just shocking that story about the Department of Education. The thoughts about just how informed you have to be and how much protection you need around you.
I'm just shocked.
I know.
Shocked.
I mean, but we shouldn't be shocked though, right? It happens all the time.
Yeah. Still shocked.
Well, thank you, Danny and Mike, for coming in. You guys were fantastic. And I mean, I don't know. Let's just, let's talk about if anybody else has any stories or issues that you've come up with the public school system or ideas of like how to help if you were in that kind of a situation, throw them out on our social media.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So share it on our social media. Where can they get us, Jamie?
Well, I'll tell you, Robin, we are on Facebook at If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Yep.
We are at Instagram at @ovaries_talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we are on Twitter at @ovariestalk.
And now you can do like an old school email as well at ovariestalk@gmail.com.
Yes,
there's
send us
so
an
many
email.
Ways to get us.
We've been getting a lot of emails.
We have.
It's fun.
Yeah.
We like reading from you guys.
I do. It's nice hearing from you guys.
We also have to say thank you to True Botanicals and Songfinch. And don't forget, guys, to use the promo codes that we gave you for your purchases because it helps them out, helps us out.
Yeah.
Yes.
And everybody, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
I mean, did they- It's so weird, like they came over. Thanks for stopping by.
Anyway, we're going to go. Right.
Eggs, ovaries.
Out. If these ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.